Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Got a link right there in the chat for those of you who want to join me in a conversation. Just ask me some questions or give me your thoughts on the topic of gold. Is it cheap right now? I've got some insights, and then I'm going to give you my opinion at the end of the video or prior to taking phone calls or at the end of my part of the video, and then we'll open up a dialogue. But I've got some insights that I think you may have not looked into, or maybe some details that aren't always obvious on the surface when you just look at the price and go back to its past high point in 2012. So let me dive into this and let me explain further what I'm referring to. Here is the price of gold, the nominal price, and this is what most people look at. Not most rebel capitalists, because most rebel capitalists know that you got to do an inflation-adjusted chart, but here's where the average Joe and Jane kind of start their analysis. In fact, this is where their analysis usually ends as well. This is where they start and finish the analysis. But going back to, what is it here, 2011 or so, August 2011, we had 1825. We got up to 1970. I'm not sure if this is a weekly chart. It might have got over 2000. I can't recall. And now we're down 18, 15, something like that. And as you guys know, the next step is to adjust by the rate of inflation to get a comparison on a comparison to what the prices have been historically. So then you can start to determine, okay, is this cheap or is this expensive? Back in February of 1980, we got up well over, looks like $2,400 per ounce when you adjust for inflation. And that's using today's dollars. But it doesn't necessarily mean that gold is cheap, because we look and kind of just eyeballing this, the high end is kind of when it's over $1,400. It kind of gets expensive when it's down below, let's say $800. It's rather cheap, and anything in between is just kind of noise. But this is assuming the rate of inflation is correct, because what we have to do is start with the nominal price. Okay, it's going up, but then you have to adjust for the rate of inflation. Now, I did some back the napkin math prior to the video, and going back to 2000, I think the rate of inflation the government would admit to, the headline number, is about 2.5% on average compounded. But what if the true rate of inflation was more like 5% or more like 10%? Then going back to this inflation-adjusted chart, we still would be at, call it 1,800 today. But the prices preceding this would be dramatically higher. And I would say they'd be dramatically higher going back to probably 1980 or so, because that's when they really started to get cute, for lack of a better word, with the way they measure the CPI. And we talked about that earlier with hedonics and with substitution. They took it from I forgot their technical term, but they basically took it from a basket of goods to a cost of living. They took it from a cost of goods index. That was the official term. They took it from a cost of goods index to a cost of living index. And it may seem like the same thing, but it's far, far different. Instead of just taking a basket of goods and then a year later measuring that same basket of goods as far as the price and determining the delta, which any of us would do. I mean, that's just what makes common sense. They take that basket of goods and then they do all these calculations. They adjust it. Well, if you were buying beef and now you can buy chicken at the same price, even though beef has gone up by 20%, then the price really didn't go up. Or they'll say, well, if this cell phone went up in price, but the camera's better, well, it actually went down in price. That's basically the gist of substitution or hedonics. And as you guys know, that's not reality. So if we adjusted for reality, then maybe, or not maybe, then the price of gold would be much cheaper relative to its historic price. Because when you adjust for inflation, meaning when you adjust for the dollars being today's dollars, the prior prices would be much, much higher. Now, would that mean that gold in that instance would be far below its historic kind of trend line when you look at what's cheap? I don't know. I'd need someone that was far better at math to create that chart and then we could look at it. But I do know it'd be a hell of a lot cheaper than it is today. Josh says we've got some callers. I'll take some calls in just a moment here, but I want to expand on this idea. So another thing that I'd encourage you guys to think through that might not otherwise be obvious is not just the correct rate of inflation, but also M2 money supply, because gold, in my opinion, is money. And it's a more pure form of money. And I'm defining money, by the way, that Mike Maloney listed all those things in his awesome video. But also, at the end of the day, it's just a way to store your excess productivity. So you want to do that in a way that's going to maintain its purchasing power. And so that's one of the main, I guess, looking at the way Mike defined it, that would be a store of value. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. But I always just see a store of value as a way to store your excess productivity. I guess I do that because I always like to remind myself that wealth isn't gold or Bitcoin or silver. It's actually the production of goods and services. But that being said, let's say it competes with the dollar, or as my buddy Rick Rule says, it always competes against the 10-year treasury or the quote-unquote risk-free rate. So we see M2, which is just a future, it's just basically a future. It's dollars in the future. It's a claim on dollars in the future. If you think about what a treasury is, it's that claim on dollars in the future. So that's why I'm comparing gold directly to the dollar or to treasuries denominated in dollars. So we can see that M2 money supply, and I know that this is not a very good measurement of the total dollars in the system, but I think it is a decent measurement of the amount of dollars that are on the balance sheet of non-bank entities in the real economy. And therefore, you know, rates of inflation there, I think this could predict the rate of inflation to some degree, or it would be a major contributing factor. And we can see this pretty much go parabolic. It starts off in 2020 around $15 trillion. And now, just let's call it a year and a half later, we're almost $21 trillion. I mean, that is a staggering amount. We've increased the M2 money supply by almost $6 trillion in less than 2 years. Wow. I mean, that's really kind of jaw-dropping to hear myself say that out loud. I mean, we were at $15 trillion. I mean, think about that. We have almost, I mean, what is that, 40% or so? And we're close. Give it another 6 months. And we will most likely have increased the M2 money supply by 50% in 2 years or 2.5 years. 50%. I mean, think about that. It took us from 1776 to 2020 to create $15 trillion. And we've created $6 trillion in the last 2 years. And then these economists sit there and scratch their head and wonder why we have inflation. And say, oh, no one could have predicted that. But I digress. Let's get back on topic. And my point here is that if M2 money supply is increased by this amount, then I think that's another kind of unique way of looking at the price of gold and saying, maybe it is cheap. Now, that said, I personally would not buy gold to increase my purchasing power. For me, it's just insurance. It's just physical gold is insurance. It's protection. It's a hedge. It's a hedge against a lot of things, probably the least of which is inflation. It's probably a better hedge against the insanity of central banks or big governments. It's a hedge against chaos in society. And I think that if you honestly look at what's happening in society today, the probability, especially when you're looking at it through the lens of the fourth turning, the probability is of us having more chaos in the future, not less, is is very high, is increasingly high, and it gets higher by the day. So another interesting way to look at it. Now, if we look at the gold price adjusted for inflation, and we do it by using a correct measurement of inflation or a more honest measurement, let's just put it that way, then I think one could come to the conclusion that gold is a far, far, far cheaper today than it actually looks when you're looking at a normal chart adjusted for inflation like this one on macrotrends.net. But if we do that, we'd also have to do the same thing for real GDP, because if this chart is telling us that real GDP has been going up and to the right, well, yeah, that's using a 2.5% rate of inflation. So you take nominal GDP, you reduce it by the rate of inflation, and that, for the most part, gives you a positive number since, let's say, 2000. But if they're using 2.5% when really inflation is 5 or 6 or 7, then that real GDP number would either flatline or I think would even go negative, especially since the GFC. So that's just another interesting take that I don't think most people really think through. Same thing for housing prices. And I know everyone says here, oh my gosh, well now housing's cheap. In those terms, George, well, I would argue it's still not cheap. But then I would also argue for housing especially, you can't just look at the prices adjusted for inflation. You got to look at the prices adjust or the prices relative to incomes. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I know it sounds crazy to say right now in today's environment, but you actually do need income to buy a house and to pay a mortgage. I know that sounds very antiquated, but it is true. And I think at some point in the future, the housing prices will reflect actual incomes. And if you use that proper, let's say, inflation adjustment right here, where they're using 2008 constant dollars going back to look at hourly wages, average hourly wages in the US, and this is seasonally adjusted. Remember that they're using this at least since 2000. They're using about a 2.5% compounded rate. Well, they're using 5%, 6%, 7%. Then, although we would still be at $22.65, the earlier numbers, and if you can kind of follow my this little hand thing here, they would be far higher. So they would show a, I think, a significant decline since, call it, we got off the gold standard in 71, of real wages. And therefore, even if prices seemed a little cheaper when you look at this chart, when you look at them adjusted for, or when you look at housing prices compared to incomes, I think they would be just as outrageous because the delta would be the same. Okay, so what is my opinion on gold? I think that if I had to land on one side or the other, I would say that gold is cheap. But that said, I would not buy gold as a speculation. I would not buy gold as an investment. I would not buy gold to increase my purchasing power. I would only buy gold to maintain my purchasing power because for me, it's insurance. Yeah, so let's get some callers' take on this. Let's see. We got the first caller here. Okay. Caller, can you hear me? Oh, there we go.
Hello. What's up?
Hi, what is your name?
Yevgeny.
Wow, looks like you got quite an audio setup there. Looks like your setup's a lot better than mine.
Just a cheap Chinese microphone here. Yeah.
All right. So what's your take on gold?
I bought a bunch because I think that will preserve my purchasing power. I sold the company at the beginning of the year.
Congratulations.
I live in Israel, and the money is just sitting there waiting for me to buy real estate. And until I can find real estate, I need to somehow not lose all my money. And
okay.
That's so, why I think gold is an interesting thing. And the more I listen to you, the more I think that it might move upward because of the stuff you have in the United States upcoming okay. In the next, I don't know how many months or years or whatever.
So I'm not going to ask you what percentage or anything. That's your business, not mine. But why did you choose to buy gold instead of Bitcoin, or did you buy both?
I already had my share of Bitcoin in 2017.
Okay.
Burned my account. So it's too speculative. And what I like about gold is it doesn't move as much.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I always consider gold more of an insurance policy. And, you know, the Bitcoiners get mad at me and the gold people get mad at me. I really can't win, but I see them both having a purpose in a portfolio.
I have like $1,000 playing at crypto, but if I lose it, I lose it. I don't care about this amount of money. I do care, and I don't want to just speculate with it.
Yeah,
it's not helicopter money. It's my actual like life, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's your excess productivity, just exactly. Like we were saying at the end of the video. I mean, you've worked your tail off creating this business, and I'm sure at times it was very stressful. I'm sure you had employees that you had to train, and you had to sacrifice, and you had to forego a lot of time spent with your kids or your wife or your family. And, you know, you don't want to see that slip away. So you're going to hold that excess productivity in a form of money that is most likely to maintain its value over time.
And as a business owner, I also didn't take a very high salary for many, many years. On the market, I could have a much higher competitive salary. So basically, I was sacrificing that and putting all the money in the business.
Absolutely. And then, so it sounds like you're longer term, more interested in buying real estate to collect that cash flow. Is that correct?
Because I was working at my own company for about 12 years, I couldn't afford a house with the current real estate pricing in Israel. Only because I sold the company and I got a big chunk of money, now I can even consider it.
So are you wanting to buy a house for your family? Or are you wanting to buy a rental property or both?
No, just my first ever house, and I'm 40 plus.
Okay. Right. Well, good for you. I don't think I bought my first house until I was 38 because I'd retired. So I retired in 2012 and I'd never owned a property prior to that. I'd always just rented. And then I needed to invest my own money. So in August of 2012, I went to that first tax auction, which we have here in the States for people who don't pay their property taxes. The county forecloses on them. And I bought six houses in one day. So that was my baptism by fire, so to speak.
I wish I could retire. I'm not there yet.
All right. Well, I sure appreciate your phone call, and good luck in Israel. Good luck. And by the way, congratulations on selling a business, and thank you very much for being a producer, an entrepreneur, someone who's taking risk and creating jobs.
Yeah. And thank you for all the content. It's really amazing. I like it a lot.
You got it. Have a good one. Okay, cool. What a great guy.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
Caller, can you hear me? Oh, there we go.
Oh, you're...
Hi, what is your name?
Susan and Daryl, we're part of your Rebel Capitalist Pro group. And as Life with Leachmans, so thank you for all you've done in helping us and giving us some contacts. We just have a couple of observations today. We've noticed lately that getting your hands on physical gold is more of a challenge than it has been in the past. So it seems like the demand has definitely increased and more people are trying to get their hands on it. And the other thing is thanks to you and your connections, we were able to connect with the American Freedom Tour, who is going to be in Phoenix this weekend. So if you are out and about anywhere in that area.
I'm looking at Josh. What is it?
The American Freedom Tour is going to have Donald Trump Jr., Laura Ingraham, Dinesh D'Souza, Judge Jeanine Pirro, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And
they're a conservative group. Okay.
They've been going across the U.S. and this week they're in Phoenix trying to take the country back kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
That's good. I always say that I dislike all politicians equally. I don't really like the right. I don't like the left. But right now,
anybody who's fighting for freedom,
Right. That's right. Yeah. You got it. So maybe we'll go check that out. And I appreciate your insights on gold. There may be some supply chain issues there that are not only affecting the stuff we buy in the grocery store, but maybe gold coins, gold bars as well. And that kind of reminds me of that recent Macro Voices episode with Russell Napier, where he said, not only did he mention the supply chain issues maybe affecting gold, but he said in the future, the ESG mandates may affect gold. You know, right now we think of those ESG mandates as just really applying to coal or oil, where all these pools of money that would invest when the prices get higher to create more supply, now they're unable to invest because that's kind of public enemy number one. And he thinks that gold may be included in that mix, and therefore less money going into gold, and therefore the price of gold doing the same thing that oil or natural gas or coal has done over the past 6 months.
Absolutely. Yeah. So just an important note, because that's kind of what we thought and what we heard is it could be up to next year before you're able to actually get your hands on any more physical stuff.
Okay. Well, that's great to know. I appreciate the insider intel, and my apologies to you. As you know, I usually do that live stream on Sunday night, and I forgot I had that meetup in San Antonio. Then we tried to do it last night, and I forgot that was a live stream with Lynn Alden. So we're actually doing it Thursday night. So I apologize, and we'll see you Thursday night.
Absolutely. Yeah. If it had been before all of this started, we would have absolutely met you on that tour. It would have been fantastic to be able to do that. Other than that, we will see you Thursday night.
Okay, cool. Thank you. All right. We got, hey, there he is. What's going on?
It's going good, George. Look what I got.
What'd you get? That is very cool. Beat the Dealer by Ed Thorpe. And if you guys don't understand what he's referencing, that is one of the first books I read on blackjack. That was way back in the day. And I attribute the majority of my business success and investing success, for that matter, to that book and first understanding why probabilities are so important. You guys have heard me say that over and over and over again. There are no certainties. There are only probabilities. And that goes all the way back to reading Ed Thorpe's book, Beat the Dealer. So thank you for bringing that up, my friend.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. So George, I just wondered what your take on the Wall Street silver movement was and everything that's going on there, because I own gold, but I also own physical silver as well. And with your point to what you just said about ESG, that was part of the reason I got into silver more, was because I was thinking, once you start looking into what silver is going into, you understand that there's going to be this huge demand for it in the future. And I just kind of wondered because there's now this kind of movement, and with all these movements, it gets me sort of worried to a point, because we see the Shiba Inu movement and all these other, I just can't even say it without breaking out laughing because,
or crying.
Yeah. Better to laugh.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't necessarily focus on Wall Street silver or a Reddit thread, but I just kind of look at silver, the metal, and I would do the same analysis there as gold. But the thing is, as you know, I don't see silver and gold as the same asset class. At least in my portfolio, they serve different objectives. So mm-hmm. gold is just that insurance policy, physical gold, where I see, because it's more of an industrial metal, I see silver as a speculation. Now, that's not to imply some sort of, you know, that it's a derogatory term, using the term mm-hmm. speculative asset class. But I just think that, you know, it doesn't pay you to own it, but I think there's good asymmetry. But the same analysis that I just did for gold, when we look at the true rate of inflation and then try to adjust the price, and then you look at M2 money supply, and then to your point, you've got all this tailwind with this, we'll call it what it is, the Great Reset Agenda. I was going to say Build Back Better, but let's just be honest here. Great Reset Agenda, or the Green New Deal, or you have all of this push towards EVs, which I think is another big bubble. But I think the EVs will be similar to the .com, where, you know, all these kind of fall by the wayside, but you've got a few of them that survive. And that kind of takes us into the automobiles that we have in the future. But that's going to require a lot of commodities. So that's a good thing if you own silver. And I think that silver right now, and you probably know this better than I would, I don't know if the price has run much lately, or if it's been kind of in the bottom, down near gold, hasn't it?
Yeah, I was trading gold last week and silver, and since that announcement, you should have seen, like, on the dot when that announcement came out for the CPI, gold shot up, like, I think I counted $49 in 10 minutes, just in, like, the amount of money that and speculation and everything that's going on. But obviously, with interest rates being so low, even I know that that's affecting leverage massively. Like, even I can borrow like £1 million, and that is just insane. Like, I'd blow my account up in just moving one or two ticks. But it's just the fact that you can borrow that money and finance a position profitably if the markets are going in your favor. But as soon as they start going against you, it's like dominoes, because everybody's getting margin calls. And if interest rates go up, it's the same thing. The interbank lending rate goes up.
It's the GFC. I mean, it's GFC 2.0. And this time, instead of housing, it's just with stocks.
And I watched your whiteboard video on that, actually, the other day. And I thought that was really good. Really opens your eyes with Evergrande and how it's connected to everything here as well.
Most specifically, the dollar. You know, people see that as the Evergrande story in the real estate market in China is just, well, does it have any systemic risk with the banks in the United States? Do they hold any Evergrande debt? I think they're missing the point that I don't think that's really a systemic risk story with the banks. I think it's more so a story about the dollar and the lack of dollar cash flow to service dollar denominated debt. And if China goes through a recession, that's going to be far fewer dollars circulating in the global economy. And that would put pressure on other currencies, on the DXY. That would give a lot of tailwind to the dollar. And, you know, I'm no predictive genius by any means, but since that video came out, we have seen the dollar go up significantly on the DXY, while at the same time, you have consumer price inflation here in the United States, which is exactly what I was talking about. People think that, you know, if we have inflation in the United States, the dollar has to go down on the DXY, and that is just absolutely not true. We could see an environment where the exact opposite is happening to a significant degree moving forward.
Yeah. Do you think it'll be like Lynette Zhang was saying, where it's countries' gold reserves? Because obviously I'm like really... because I'm in Canada and they sold all their gold.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if we go on to a gold standard, Canada is going to struggle. That's for sure. But I don't know if they do another Bretton Woods 2.0 type of thing where they try to peg it to one. I doubt it because the last one didn't work, but you know, it's all about confidence, and who knows what would instill confidence or what will instill confidence in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years when this fiat currency system implodes. I don't know. The environment in which we live, the world today, is changing so quickly. I don't even know what it's going to look like in 3 months, let alone 3 years. But I do think that silver is very interesting. And I just sold one of my houses, and that's something that I'll have to put on my watch list is silver, and maybe add that to the speculative side of my portfolio.
Yeah, I definitely do think it's more on the speculative side. Gold I hold. I don't hold it to maintain my purchasing power. I mainly just hold it against government mismanagement more than anything.
Yeah. All right, Matt. Well, give a shout out to your channel. I know that you've got a channel talking about freedom and liberty and free market capitalism.
Yeah. So my channel, YouTube channel, new startup YouTube channel is Market Mania Canada. Come follow me if you're interested. We talk real estate and everything. And it's meant to be simple stuff. I'm not a macro economist or anything like that.
No, but you're doing a great job, man. And I can't wait to see you again on the next kind of inside the content creation or behind the scenes of the George Gammon channel content creation. If you guys haven't watched that, that's a video I did about a week or two ago, live stream about an hour and 45 minutes, where I kind of walk you A through Z on how I set up the George Gammon channel and how I grew the Rebel Capitalist channel. And I'm going to keep doing those for people who want to create their own content every 2 weeks. So hopefully we'll see you on the next live stream.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah, thank you so much, George.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have a good one, man. All right, guys, that was a lot of fun. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and always remember to stand up and fight for freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism.